This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
A quick thank you, if I could, to Samantha streaming this show on WEEI.com at Logan Airport this morning. And a reminder that you can do that every morning if you are unable to listen on the radio frequencies we have assembled for you. Just stream the show at WEEI.com. You can also watch this show on YouTube or Twitch. And this show is presented on Twitch by Springer's Jewelers. There are three locations you can visit: tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, Portland, Maine, and Bath, Maine. Visit springersjewelers.com. Speaking of Twitch, there's an ongoing Twitch chat and great way to ask a question that you would like an answer to when it comes to this show. P. Sheehan, 24, during the break, I saw, said, "Coco, will you address this morning being spoken about by the prosecutor in the Karen Reed hearing yesterday? Are you addressing that or not?"
I mean, your show. I don't know.
Not by name.
Yeah. Two popular hosts of WEI, two popular radio personalities.
I mean, can the guy give the show a plug when he's talking about us at the station? Is that possible?
It was you and I both kind of brought up, but he misrepresented really what I said well.
Okay.
And there were some people on Twitter who were saying this is not how it happened. He basically was saying that it was all about the Colin Albert conspiracies that are out there. And I was saying, you know, Karen Reed was very forthcoming when you and I met her for us to ask any questions that we had. And one of my questions
said that there was not a conspiracy.
Correct. Because that was one of my questions. Yeah. I said, I've seen all of these reports about Colin Albert. And she said that was not true. He made it seem like we were saying it wasn't true.
Right.
She was the conspirator?
Okay. Yeah. Conspirator.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Listen, if the guy could throw your name in there, I would really appreciate it. We need all the publicity we can get when it comes to the show.
Yeah. He said he has the video. Throw Twitch. Brought to you by Springer's Jewelers.
Yeah, correct. Yes.
Thank you.
All right, back to the news.
A pilot and two children survived on the wing of a plane for 12 hours after they crashed and the plane was partially submerged in an icy lake in Alaska. Jeez. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, Mitch has the photo of what this looked like. Immediate family members, the pilot and the two children. But while that's crazy, it's even crazier how they were saved. A man by the name of Terry Goads saw a Facebook post Sunday night calling people to help search for the missing plane. So he got in his own plane and went out to look and found them, leading to their rescue.
Good on him.
Yeah, we can hear from Dale Aker, who helped with it as well.
I was really shocked. I didn't expect that we would find him, but I did expect that we would find him alive for sure. I've done a little bit of search and rescue before, and it doesn't always turn out this well.
And the two children were relatively dry and okay. The pilot was suffering from hypothermia, but is expected to be okay.
Wow.
You guys have a desire to go to Alaska?
No.
No, not really.
Yes.
Maybe on a cruise.
Ooh.
Like, do you like cruising, Curtis?
Have I've never been on a cruise.
I hate them.
A lot of people hate cruises.
I haven't been on one since I was like 8, and it was a Disney cruise.
Why do people hate them?
Yeah,
I just think I'm going to, it's the Titanic the entire time. Like, I'm doomsday. Okay. I just don't like it. I don't like the feeling.
Your relentless anxiety. Like, the best part of it is the midnight buffet. Yeah. Like, you got buffets all day.
Right.
Like, honestly.
And the gambling.
Sure.
It's like nonstop.
You go to a different island. You go on a little, like a day tour of an island. I mean, I don't know.
Some of those ships are so massive, you don't even know that you're swaying.
Courtney, I mean, you're more than likely to get the Noro, but whatever. I mean,
you didn't like the Disney cruise?
No, I did not, no.
Oh, I was thinking about that for James.
Yeah, no. I mean, we did Disney, and then I believe it went out to, like, the Bahamas.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
They're doing a Disney princess cruise next week, and Ken is going on it.
I want to do the train ride through Alaska that has like the glass top. I think that would be
that'd be cool.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, that'd be nice. They do that to
not very good for the environment though. I don't know.
No, is that an electric?
They're burning the coal in the train and everything. You might want to stay away.
That's
from
okay. I can go just enjoy the environment that's out there. I don't care.
Okay, all right.
Make
you
have to be such a green teamer.
It's just
I'm
shocking.
Not.
Like it was a few months ago that you almost lost us a client. When you were raging about electric vehicles.
I wasn't raging about electric vehicles.
And then suddenly, you announce, hey, I bought electric. It's a bit of a flex.
No, I never once criticized electric
flex
cars.
You've never once been concerned about the environment ever.
Yeah, I'm still not concerned about the environment. I didn't get the car because I'm concerned about the environment.
Leave it to Scheim to do his one thing when the one thing guy leaves.
Why did you get it then if you're not concerned about the environment?
Because I really...
Well, I mean, never mind that. Why did you announce it if you...
I didn't announce
you
it.
Did. It was kind of a big announcement.
Curtis says,
oh, yeah. It was such a big announcement. I've had it for over a month. Like, what's
like
we doing?
It's the age-old question. How do you know somebody's a vegan? They tell you.
Right.
Coming from the guy who literally drives a hybrid.
It's a hybrid because it's the only... I wanted the Jeep, and it was the only... In the pandemic, it was the only thing that was available.
And yet you still drive a hybrid.
I'm getting rid of the thing as soon as my lease is over.
It seems like pot calling kettle black.
No. I think I'm going Bronco Raptor for my next
nice.
Vehicle.
Okay, that is a nice car.
That'd be sick.
I love the matte black.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, big dog.
Finally, some diversity in the seaport.
Step in your game up. That thing gets out and go, too.
Huh?
That thing gets out and goes.
Unbelievable vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And I cannot wait to get one.
Yeah, those
are nice. Get my hands on one. All right. Anyway, back to the news.
We have the latest plane incident of the day.
Flight 209, you're clear to take off.
And now, the latest plane incident.
No, but this guy doing the flying has no airline experience at all. He's a menace to himself and everything else in the air.
Of the day.
By the way, is there anyone on board who knows how to fly a plane?
On the Greg Hill Show.
Another argument at an airport has gone viral. Now, there are no, before you ask, I've searched high and low, cannot find which airport this took place at. But this time, it was a lady arguing with an employee because she was trying to stuff her medium-sized dog into a cat carrier. Mm. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you could see this go down. The employee was saying, I'm sorry, ma'am, you cannot do this. The dog needs to be able to get up and turn around in the carrier for it to be legal.
God, the poor thing.
Yeah, the woman.
What is wrong with people?
Yeah, really
Did she
bad.
Not know that before she went? On the plane?
She thought that nobody was going to ask. She probably thought that the dog was going to be able to be at her feet. Nobody was going to say anything. The carrier was just for show. Of course, they did not allow her on the flight. Here's the audio.
So you can't fly like that. That's what I'm saying. The dog has to be able to move a full circle, which she cannot do in that carrier.
She's trying to.
You even said it right now, she cannot.
She just
But you just even said it. You even admitted she cannot.
Yes, she can.
You just said it. She can't, though. So therefore, I am the supervisor on duty. That dog is too big to be in a carrier, smushed in the carrier like that.
She can, though, moving around.
What a jackass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, the dog doesn't want to be stuffed into something where it has no room.
Right.
Like,
right.
Would you want to be, lady?
No.
Would
no.
you want to be stuffed into a carry-on bag and, no. and on a flight for 3 hours?
Hell no.
God.
Yep.
All right.
San Diego just became the first city to ban digital-only grocery coupons. Officials feel like it isn't fair to those who don't know how to download an app to get the coupon. So this is good news for Greg. Because
I know how to download an app.
Well, I'm not with the help of Ashley or Lindsay or myself.
So this is to protect old people?
Yeah.
Okay. I think most old people can figure out how to download an app and use a digital coupon. No?
You're being fraudulent.
Okay.
We can hear from council member Marnie Von Wilpert.
I was just buying toilet paper the other day, and it was a $5 discount if you had the digital coupon. Now, to get that coupon, I had to first download an app for Vons. Then I had to sign up for an account. Then I had to scan the proper code to get the digital coupon. And once I was at the cash register, she had to manipulate my phone to figure out where the barcode was. This is ridiculous.
So, there you go.
It's not fair in the world. I mean, if you can't figure out how to download an app and use it at the grocery store, then sorry, you pay full price.
Right.
Well, do people still, like, cut out the coupons?
Yeah.
There are people who are still coupon cutters.
Oh, of course there is. Yeah. Of course there is.
You know what a big spot for coupons, Courtney? You and I share it? The Walgreens on Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh,
really?
Oh, my God.
No, they're all the pharmacies. Like, my wife has, like, a list 6 feet long
the CVS
of
ones.
CVS.
Yeah, but you never use the CVS thing. Like, they always
she
print
does.
The, she does?
Oh, yeah.
Good for her. Like, they always print the thing out, and it's gone. I have no idea where it is. I never use it.
Yeah. Shime hates CVS.
Yeah. She's like, we're saving
non-environmentally
we're saving
CVS is
$2 on lotion.
Yeah. There is shocking new claims about what's going on under the Giza pyramid.
Oh, have you seen this?
Oh,
yeah.
What a conspiracy on this baby.
Big time.
Now, researchers are saying that there is a vast underground city. They say the hidden structures spanning 4,000 feet are approximately 38,000 years old, which predates the oldest known man-made structure of its kind by tens of thousands of years. If you're watching on Twitch or YouTube, you can see what they are drawing up as what is underneath the cylinder-looking cities.
Yeah,
they claim to have identified these structures using radar pulses to create the high-resolution images.
Could be the legendary halls of Amenti. Many thought was just mythology or what have. But maybe aliens.
Did they go down there, or are they going down?
They haven't yet, but they never knew in all the years of the pyramids, nobody had figured out that there was a whole city underneath it.
Journey to the center of the earth. That's
correct.
What this is.
I've said it before. There was a catastrophic event that occurred. The society that built the pyramids was far more advanced than we are now.
And something took them out, Curtis?
Yep.
So that society, 38,000 years ago or whatever, what did you say it was, Courtney?
38,000.
Was more advanced than we are now.
Right.
Without technology?
Oh, right. Well, who knows what the technology was?
Who knows?
Have you seen Paradise? I mean, the world's over and then boom.
Do you think there are people still down there?
I don't.
Dale?
I don't think there are.
You never know.
Well, so my question would be, if there was a society far more advanced than us, I'm not saying there wasn't, but if there was, in their tools and stuff like that, wouldn't that have been found? It wouldn't just like...
Right.
If they're far more advanced than us, certain things don't just erode.
Well, of course things erode. If you have a meteor strike...
Yeah, but not, aliens, it doesn't destroy everything across the world.
Well, how do we know?
Aliens, bud.
Okay, yeah, but so Curtis is not saying aliens.
I'm not saying aliens.
That's possible. He's not saying aliens, so that's why I'm proposing the question. That's all.
But I would like to for Shime or someone else to explain to me how the pyramids were built using what we believe to be the tools they had 38,000 years ago. And I'll save you the time.
Nope, you can't. Yeah, 100%. You're absolutely right. I think it is a massive mystery.
No.
Nope, not even elephants, Wiggy. Totally get. I'm just saying, if there was a race far more advanced than us, why are there no remnants of said race at all? Like tools?
Well,
it doesn't have to be bones.
We literally just found this now. I mean, who knows what's under the pyramid?
No, I know. I'm just saying anywhere else across the globe. Like,
well, I mean, I don't know. I think that it is a fascinating, fascinating... there's a guy named Hancock. Do you know his first name? He's on Rogan a couple times.
John.
The 48th floor. No. Anyway, I love this story. I'm endlessly fascinated by it.
A texter says, a 401 texter, so Rhode Island, says this is very similar, Curtis, to the plot of Assassin's Creed.
Yes.
Is it?
It's a video game.
Okay.
And a movie that they made. I believe Jake Gyllenhaal was in it, starred in it. But that was like...
I think that was Black Hawk Down.
I think it was like a Persian... Like it was based in like the Persian times and stuff like that. But I mean, I feel like that they were able to build things.
Oh my God. Eric O'Brien in the Twitch chat. Yeah, pulleys, rope, and leverage. Please, for the love of God, buy a book.
Well, they didn't have trucks. If they had trucks,
wouldn't we research it,
and cranes, wouldn't
pulleys,
we?
Pulleys, you ignorant wouldn't moron.
Wouldn't we find, like, trucks and cranes left
over? That's my point.
Right.
You'd find the remnants of tools or vehicles or whatever.
Well, how do you think they did it?
Well, I don't know. I would almost lean more in your direction, Greg, where it was aliens, and they just took whatever they used away with them than it was a race that was far more advanced than a race.
Unlike most contractors.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Because I'm with Sean.
Did they get the permits from Michelle Wu?
If you can find bones from 50,000 years ago, you're telling me you can't find a metal crane?
It's 38,000 years ago.
Right,
but
you can find bones.
These cities are 4,000 feet under... Then how would we be? We haven't gone down there yet. Wouldn't all the materials be down there?
He's talking about the pyramids on the surface. So we've been able to find like dinosaur bones or bones of
Neanderthals,
you know, mummies, and you know whether it's whether it's a great mammoth or something like that. So if you're able to find bones, I see what Shime's saying. Why are you not able to find the trucks and cranes that built the pyramids? Right. That would be.
Or like a discarded vape or something.
Something.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Jackson's ancestors. Those lines.
All right. Can we get to the good news for Shime when it comes to burger consumption?
Well, I don't know if it's good news, but I mean, for me, it's bad news because I love a French fry. Yeah. But science has determined that it is healthier to eat two burgers than it is to eat one burger with French fries.
Really?
Mm. Yeah. So they're saying, according to the Business Insider report, the two burgers... it applies to the way in which you get more protein and you reduce the fat and carbs you're eating.
Ah.
So more protein outweighs the fats and carbs.
Is this
more
new?
Is this new information?
Hasn't it always been better to eat meat than it is to eat like heavy starches like potatoes?
Well, I love Shime so much.
No, it's just a general question. I'm just asking.
Well,
I'm
Business
just asking.
Insider felt like it was new information, so I wanted to relay to you.
So is this a burger without a bun?
No, they're just saying burgers. Two burgers better than burgers and fries.
A couple Big Macs better than getting a Big Mac and fries.
Okay. Yeah.
Do you think they had burrito bowls underneath the pyramids 38,000 years ago?
Yeah, starch me up.
What about acai bowls?
I had one last night for dinner.
What?
So good.
Acai bowl?
Yeah.
They are
Did you go to Bamboo Beach?
The best.
I don't understand. Like, Lindsay says I eat too much acai bowls. Like, I can't win.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it's the healthiest thing in the world. I probably go to Bamboo Beach 3 times a week.
High in sugar, though.
It can't be that healthy because it's so good.
It's high in sugar.
Yeah.
It's berries.
You go Power Bowl?
I go Berry Bowl. Extra homemade peanut butter drizzled over the top of it.
Yeah. That's the way to do it.
Their homemade peanut butter at Bamboo Beach is the best thing in the world.
Does Bullet love it too? Because Harry is obsessed.
He licks the top of the peanut butter.
How do you classify peanut butter? As a spread? Is that how it's classified? Or is it like under...
A spread?
I guess it's a spread.
It's a butter. I mean, it's in the...
Is it a top five?
It's in the name of it.
Mm. Well, no. I know. I understand that it's...
It's butter made from peanuts.
Okay, right. So is it a top five butter? Is it like the best butter of all time?
I mean, I wouldn't classify...
Basically, my point was peanut butter is goated. Is kind of the point.
It is
the top of whatever category you want to put it in. Peanut butter's at the top. It's so good.
I would agree with you. It goes on virtually anything.
Right. And is it really a butter because it's not in the butter section? I once asked my dad was doing grocery shopping.
That's a great point,
my dad
was
doing grocery shopping and I asked for almond butter and he called me. He said, I've been staring at the butter section for like 15 minutes.
That's a
great
call.
There.
That's a good point, Courtney.
Did he at least have his pants on?
Yes.
Okay.
He doesn't Winnie the Pooh.
He's walking around.
He's not. I did not. I never said that.
Does he grocery shop? Winnie the Pooh?
No. Fully dressed. My dad's always fully dressed.
It's like Breaking Bad.
It could also just be a memory thing. Yeah. Like he just forgets to put his pants on.
No. Okay. You never fully dressed without a smile either.
DMs is trying to help you out because too much peanut butter is not good for you. It puts
on
weight.
It's one day a week. It's better than... So my trip previously, I would, I'm on my way home, stop, grab myself a sub.
Okay.
For lunch.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Acai bowl is better, clearly.
Oh, than a sub.
The bread and the.
Yeah, you know, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
it's a perfect portion too.
But really you're only doing it one day a week.
No, probably like two, maybe three.
Oh, then you're probably better off getting your sub once a week.
No.
Oh, and before this narrative starts, my dad doesn't do my grocery shopping for me. I was visiting him in Florida.
Sounds
and
like
he asked,
probably does it for
me. No, he does not.
Probably.
No.
Does he still pay for it?
No.
Oh.
No, I'm fully off my parents'
he did that time.
Payroll.
Wow.
Really?
Fully off.
That is pretty impressive.
Well, I got a husband, so.
Even phone?
You're phone off? Is off.
Wow.
Santo and I have a family plan.
Okay.
Card note?
Nope. Me.
Oh, wow.
Car is me.
There you go.
Coming up, we're going to talk Bruins with Mike Milbury next. And here is Courtney with what is trending right now.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Patriots have their receiver. They signed Stephon Diggs to a 3-year, $69 million deal. $26 million of that is guaranteed. Elsewhere in the league, Russell Wilson is heading to the Giants on a 1-year deal worth up to $21 million. The Red Sox swept in Mexico, winning their second game 12-8. Happy opening day eve. The Sox now in Texas to take on the Rangers tomorrow at 4:05. The Celtics are in Arizona to take on the Suns this evening. Tip is at 10. Xavier Tillman is out while Jason Tatum is listed as doubtful. Both the Seas and Suns riding win streaks. The Seas with 6, the Suns with 4. And the Bruins take the ice at the same time. They're in Anaheim to take on the Ducks at 10. And with so much to love, you don't want to miss the Subaru of New England A Lot to Love event. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
39 degrees, mostly cloudy, 48 this afternoon.
Well, we didn't start the fire, but Nikita Zadorov did with those comments, and we certainly have been discussing them, and I cannot wait for our next guest to weigh in on those and other things, and that is Mike Milbury.
Yeah, other things. First, other things. Are we really more advanced than the people that put the pyramids up? I mean, we got some bald-headed Russian guy bombing people in the Ukraine, killing people all over the place. The Middle East blows up because the whatever they are, the Hamas people come in and slaughter people at a concert. We're more advanced.
Can I get the sponsors in?
I mean, oh no, I don't know. I was kind of hot there for a while, wasn't I?
Jackson said he felt like you were ornery this morning.
Well, yeah, because Shime never has me on the right. It's either 2, 3, 4 of these access points. I never know. It's like a guessing game. For Christ's sake,
okay,
give me one number and let me take care of that.
No, that was it was my fault. I had 2 up on the board
again. Your fault.
My bad.
Mike Milbury is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. By FindMassMoney.gov, by John Sewer and Drain Cleaning, the name to know when your drains don't flow, and by Timeout Market. Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. What did you make of what Nikita Zadorov said post-game the other night about Jeremy Swayman?
Okay, I want to start at the beginning, though, because I thought that Jeremy Swayman was one of the rocks, the foundations of the franchise. And I've believed that, and I still believe that he could be. But right now, there's a sizable crack in it. I don't know what happened. Perhaps it's a couple things. I mean, the contract was getting to that was terrible. It was a mistake by management, and then it was a mistake by Swayman, who started to talk like he was a businessman, and we're going to do this. Just get the only thing you want in a contract negotiation if you're a player is get the most goddamn money you can. Don't tell me about your fighting for the union and the future of the players. You get happy horse manure.
Right.
I mean, so, you know, this guy was technically sound. Concentration, excellent. I mean, excellent. He athletic only when necessary. And that's a good thing because you can't outquick a puck. So if you have to be athletic and you're falling, there's a scramble. He had that. And he looked like he was going to be the number one goalie for a decade. And now it's Swiss cheese. I mean, I don't know why what's happened to him. Like he's makeable shots, makeable saves are now frustrating for him. And I could see why, you know, his teammates could be feeling the pressure. Because
so do you think guys resent the holdout and the money that he got and the fact that he's not playing at the level that he should be based on that money and based on holding out for it? Is that what you're...
I'm not in the locker room, but yeah. I think that has to be a concern.
Yeah.
I don't know if they like him. I don't know if he's a likable guy. And that really, that sucks. Because if you put yourself into a quagmire like that, you better be really good. We had a goaltender way back when, Pete Peters, who in 1983 was just, he stopped everything. He was kind of, and I like Pete, don't get me wrong, but he was a different cat from Western Canada and farmland out there, and who knows what was going through his mind half the time. But, you know, he talked with a slow drawl, but he stopped the puck. You can do anything you want if you stop the puck. But when you stop being invincible as a goaltender and you start saying stuff that people are questioning or threatening to fight a goaltender from the other end of the ice when you really, I don't know what he was doing there, but it was just like ridiculous. And now I have no idea how this is going to get solved. I only can hope that the reset button works in September, because it needs to work if they have to fill this void. You know, Korpisalo's been much better than I thought he would be, but he's not the answer in the long run. Swayman was supposed to be the answer, and I think he still can be, but somebody needs to punch him in the nose. Now, and I'm not talking about Zadorov. Yeah. I'm talking about Neely or Sweeney or Joe Sacco, and I'm not getting that. This guy needs to straighten up, get a spine, and find out that his teammates are the most important things, not with the words that he says, because I've read the stuff that he said that says, you know, I'm all about my black and gold teammates. Just shut up. Stop the puck.
Don't you think more than just coaching, though, there needs to be a player to get him in line? Like, is that player Charlie McAvoy?
It's not Nikita Zadorov, who can't get out of his own way on a lot of nights. I mean, he's been a little better lately because he's hit some people. But, yeah, maybe a player or two, but I don't know that they have a player on that team now that can do it. I don't know that they have a player that has the stature that can do it. And McAvoy being hurt and fairly young, I don't know. But I do know that it has to be resolved, and he has to get back on track, or this team now has another problem adding to the myriad of problems that they have already that they have to solve.
But don't players, Mike, support other players getting money? Like, isn't that an issue within the room that other players would be complaining? That if you think Swayman got overpaid, I mean, I guess, but Ullmark got the exact same deal right after, so my guess is they are happy. Most players are happy he set the market where he did. And players like Pasternak and Zadorov would sound like total frauds bitching about a guy getting his max value.
I don't think the money was an issue, but the way he handled the whole negotiations and the, you know, I'm doing this for the brotherhood, that kind of stuff, that stuck in my craw. I thought it was like, just let your agent do the talking and take and sign, you know, get the check and put it in the bank. He didn't need to go through that kind of hullabaloo, as far as I was concerned.
Did Neely have to publicly chastise him?
No, he didn't. And I thought from the beginning they should have signed this guy before they signed Ullmark and avoided all this drama, and that's led to what, you know, it started the snowball rolling, and it's led to this. And it's now become a major issue in the clubhouse and on the ice.
Mike, I think one of the biggest things for me where this all went left is when guys like Marchand were chiming in on what he was doing for his contract. And I don't think it's right for any player to question a guy's motives on how he goes to get his money.
Even if his holdout is hurting your team getting ready for the season.
And I think a holdout is a player's leverage on him to get his money, but it's about the organization to pay him his fair value, so there isn't a holdout. How do you feel like, as a player, talking about other players' money?
It's not good. It's not positive. And you know what? It also speaks to the question, you know, the kind of elephant in the locker room right now, is this guy not likable? You know, Marchand doesn't seem like the kind of guy that would go out of his way to, like, you know, bitch about a guy looking for extra money. I don't think he wants to be his team player and all that kind of stuff, Marchand. And I admit that maybe he stepped out of line here, but I'm worried about the fact that this guy is a little bit of a dink.
And you're tied down to him for 8 years or whatever.
Well, yeah, you are. You're tied down to him, but you weren't supposed to be tied down to him. You were supposed to be in bed with him. And now it looks like a eek. Saturday morning doesn't look so good.
No, I was going to say, Mike, isn't this, and I say it's clearly... clearly put on the shoulders of Sweeney and Cassidy. They should have got the deal done long before they were supposed to. And
you
if they
keep trying to do that, but
if they would have done that, we wouldn't be here.
Well,
I'm asking Mike,
would the players still be a dink though?
Let me ask you this, Mike: did DiPietro? Were you there? Wasn't there a holdout with him?
Yeah, well, it's a whole different ball of wax. He was at the end of his entry level contract. He was making $1 million a year, and he had played okay, not great, but okay. But he was just an emerging player, and I thought, okay, we're going to do a bridge contract, and I thought, okay, $1.25 million, $1.4 million, whatever it might be, something somewhat reasonable. So. But the owner, Charles Wong, came in and said, you know, I want to make him an offer of $1.5 million, but tell him we're gonna reduce it by $50,000 a day while he doesn't take it. So it happened to be Bobby Orr's company that was the representative of DiPietro. So I gave him the offer, and he was like, they were really not happy. And so we started to take down the offer day by day, but it was only one day. Because I was supposed to go to dinner with Charles on the second day after he proposed this affair. And he said to me before the dinner, he said, we signed DiPietro. I said, we signed DiPietro? He said, yeah. He said, well, we signed him. Well, I signed him. And I said, how much did we pay him? And it was like $2 million. And I said to him, you know, Charles, you just pulled the rug out from underneath my feet. Who's right. ever going to believe me? They're just going to go to you from now on. That was the end of our relationship, but I was...
Well, how do you fix this?
How do I fix this? Well, I'm getting that kid in the room. I'm getting the kid in the room with his goaltending coach and his agent and maybe his parents. I don't give a okay. Yeah. I don't care. This guy has to get it straight. He doesn't say the right things. He needs to grow up. He needs to be appreciative of what he's got and what they've given him. And I think he needs to be held accountable and responsible, and his teammates need to cut him some slack. And most of all, the guy needs to play better. Even if the team in front of him has been decimated, and let's face it, it's been decimated, he can be better than this. He knows how to stop a puck from a shot from a wide angle that he's missing now on the blocker side where you just have to punch it out. It's not, those things are going in now. It's kind of embarrassing.
Tougher negotiation, Ken or DiPietro?
Jesus. Well, Ken doesn't negotiate. He just dictates.
He's like Kim Jong-un.
Here it is. I mean, we don't have any more money than that, Mike. You've been on for 3 or 4 years now, but I don't really care. Just take what we give you or go away.
Well, Mike, we love having you here, and we will talk to you again next week. And thank you for, as always, for being here.
All right, kids.
All right.
See ya.
Mike Milbury. Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, so do you think Swayman is not liked and has been the issue for the most of this season?
Well, clearly there are people who don't like him because of how he went about doing his contract. I don't know.
Is that the only reason, or is he just not a guy that they?
If that's
saying he went to business school was not a great line. I'll give you that.
Right.
I forgot about that.
Right. So, and it seems like it's all based around contracts.
Did
stuff.
He say Wharton?
No, Tuck.
Okay.
Whether it's that saying he went to business school or like, you know, here's what the brotherhood is, it's all based around contracts. So initially, we know Marchand, and we don't know how many other guys in that dressing room or that locker room were like, we don't like this. We don't like what he's saying. We don't like how he's going about negotiating. So it's all based around contract. And then there might be some other guys who are like.
What was, remind my old brain, the Marchand comment was essentially, this is not the way, we don't negotiate publicly, or I don't negotiate publicly, or Bruins don't negotiate.
Yes. So it really wasn't, I mean, I think we're blowing it out of proportion once again when it comes to Brad Marchand, where we're saying that he was criticizing him for wanting more money.
He was, though.
But he was all behind closed doors. Right, he doesn't make it a big scene in front of the media.
Yeah,
but it's not his right to comment on what his teammates trying to do with their contract. just support him and say, hey, listen, how you know, we support Jeremy and he deserves every penny that he gets.
How would Marchand feel if somebody bitched about how he was negotiating with Sweeney before he was traded?
Right.
He'd be upset.
I mean, he'd be upset about it.
God.
All right. We got to take a break. Coming up, it is a Celtics Wednesday, and we will talk Celtics with Mego in 15 minutes at 9. That was serious businessman Jeremy Swayman. Curtis brought that up.
Yeah.
Great recollection there, Curtis. I forgot all about that.
I have a memory.
So,
but if you think that's
I went to school
being
for
a dink,
huh?
If you're a player,
well, it doesn't matter what we think.
No, I'm saying if you're a player,
it's what his teammates.
Yeah, think. That's what I'm saying. If you're a player and you think that's somebody being a dink that's trying to like understand the business of the game, they're trying to educate themselves of the business of the game.
But Wiggy, if you're a guy, that would rub you the wrong way.
No, it wouldn't.
Oh, I feel
it would
like
not, would. No, because, it would. No, I was a guy that was always wanting to know why we couldn't get this done, why we couldn't get that done. When Gene Upshaw used to come in and used to say, okay, these are some of the things that the PA is trying to get done. Why can't we get...
Of course, Wiggy. I'm not saying you shouldn't do that.
No,
I'm saying if you're sitting there and you're talking about Stanford Business School...
Yeah, but if he's educating... I know a lot of players that when
Wiggy,
I play...
I'm not saying you shouldn't be educated about it.
Listen, I know a lot of players that didn't know, weren't educated about it, but heard their teammates talking about stuff like that and then went to their teammates afterward and said, hey, can you give me a little insight on this? I'll never forget when I got to the NFL and I made the team and it was one of the veterans and they said, whatever you do, put the max in for your 401k.
But I'm sure there are guys on that team who go, wait a second, maybe you should have spent less time in the online Stanford Business School classes and more time out there taking pucks.
Yeah, like, but this was in the off season.
Yeah,
after he played
once the season started.
But he didn't get there until. But they were talking about something that happened in the off season after he just had a great playoff performance. Like the fact that guys are upset that he's, you know, trying to set the market for other guys. Like, do you think Linus is mad? Linus, the reason why he's getting $8.25 million a year is because of Swayman. And so when he negotiates, he goes, listen, I had the same numbers. Give me the same thing.
401 texter from Rhode Island. Hello, Rhode Island. Thank you for your long support of this radio show. Says, is it too late to add talking about going to business school to the ick bracket?
Good point.
That is a great point.
Right. That is a lot of guys' opening line.
This is Mark from Medford. Hey, Mark.
Yeah, you know what? Hearing that interview with Swayman that you just played, Mike Milbury is right. He is a friggin' dink. Okay? Who died and made him the representative for every goalie in the NHL? Okay, number one, this kid played half a season with Almack and a few games before that the following year. This kid hasn't proved worth a damn yet to be asking for $10 million, $9 million, or $8 million. Okay, if I was Don Sweeney and if I was Cam Neely, I would try my damnedest to trade this kid over the summer, even if you had to eat the contract or half the contract to get him off this team, because if he's going to continue to be a cancer, and you can see it from the remarks from Marchand and the remarks from Zadorov the other night, then this team ain't going to go anywhere with him in the net. Huh? Have you seen his numbers? His numbers aren't even worth Saskatchewan League, Beer League numbers. His goals against average in the last four games is 6. That's ridiculous for an $8.5 million guy.
No, you're right about that. Yeah.
And great point in the Twitch chat. Another Office reference when Michael's told to tell people he's in finance, so he walks up to a girl and says he's a bank teller.
always an Office obscure.
I agree
with
Wiggy.
But Zadorov is worth, what, $5 or $6 million?
Yeah, he's making $5 million.
Yeah, and he's worth that? No, nobody on this team is worth, other than Pasta.
Making 7. That means he worth that?
No. So, like, if you're going to sit here and criticize Swayman, which you should based on his production, then you got to criticize the rest of the team other than Pasta. Before Charlie McAvoy got hurt, doesn't he make $10 million a year? There were plenty of times when we were having conversations with Milbury or other Bruins fans that are like, wait a second, this guy's not worth $10 million.
Well, they're going to have to figure that out. in this offseason if there's an issue.
This team's screwed. They got no leadership in that locker room. This team is screwed. There's a
you
bunch
know
of-
who could fix it? Based on episode 4 of Celtic City.
Oh, I know who could fix it.
The Hick from French Lick.
Larry Joe. I don't think he could fix anything because he lost the battle.
He was the only guy on that team who voted
right.
to keep Bill Fitch as right. the head coach. Everybody else was like, ship him out of here.
Right.
We don't like him. He makes us work too hard.
Right. And he was ticked off about it. He was pissed about it because he felt like them being more concerned on how he treated them robbed them out a couple of championships.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a break. We will talk Celtics with Mego on a Celtics Wednesday next.